Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. If you're over 21 and drive sleepy from sometimes having a drink, medications, or overall just being tired in general, there's a chance you might get pulled over. Nima of Moat Law did an interview with me, understanding on what to do to make sure you have your own personal checklist so you don't panic and say the wrong thing to incriminate yourself to having a DUI, which is really we all want to avoid that. Okay? In this talk, we talk about the checklist to do when you get pulled over, and not getting tricked is the key from the police officer. Sometimes you're just human, they'll do that. And if you're detained, what you have to do. So you have to be careful of that. Also, what is the STFU rule? And also, too, what are different types of DUIs you can get? It is all confusing. We'll talk about it in a second. And what you have to do, understanding having an attorney in your corner even before you get a DUI is the key. Also, does the length of a DUI case, how that can affect, help, or hurt your case? And lastly, if you plead guilty, what you have to do, understand your choices for that too. Again, very confusing sometimes, very nerve-wracking sometimes, even if you're not drinking, if you get pulled over for DUI or checked for DUI. So understand these checklists, walk through them for one to listen to this podcast once or twice. At that point, the show notes has things you can jump to directly. If not, listen in, learn from Mr. Nima, and I'll talk to you afterwards.
All right.
All right, we're good, we're good. Mr. Nima, welcome to Crooked Spine Show. Thanks for coming on the show today.
I appreciate it.
We've talked before about what attorneys go through and how to help clients, people like myself, that have accidents, that get in, for example, maybe DUIs or speeding tickets too. We need people to help us understand because I'm a chiropractor, sure. I'm a family person, I don't do legal stuff. I go to DMV, I get shaky because people know in their smiles.
Of course, so do I.
If I get pulled over, it's like, oh no, now what do I do?
Sure.
So I want to know exactly, my audience wants to know too, how do we get through this things that are called accidents, tickets for one too, getting pulled over?
Sure.
How do we make sure we're safe and don't say or do the wrong thing and the timely manner we have to do things also?
Okay.
So how do you want to get started? What's the biggest question you usually get asked when someone calls or talks to you in a public place?
Okay, that's a great question. So, twofold, and I mean, I may want to just mention this, we specialize in DUI defense as well as car accident cases, so personal injury. And it goes both ways. When it comes to a DUI, potential DUI,
yes.
I always tell
just
people...
Jump right in.
Yeah, I always tell people to take an Uber or Lyft. It's so convenient,
yes.
Right? I prefer not to have clients in regards to DUIs. DUIs can, is a leading cause of car accidents, deaths, and things like that. So the courts do frown upon them, much so.
But has the pendulum swung so while the courts, even if you're on the fence or possibly, I mean, people where they've not even had DUI, but they've had a couple beers, now they get dragged into DUI.
Sure.
So now it seems like it's the extreme the other way to where you have to protect yourself against the legal system because you're at fault no matter what.
Of course, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's funny when people ask sometimes what I do and I tell them I do DUI defense or criminal defense, their attitude towards me changes immediately. But I can say with 100% certainty that 100% of my clients are really not criminals, right? It's someone like myself or yourself who, went out for date night like you have been doing for the past 10, 15 years. You had a couple glasses of wine, and guess what? Someone may have even rear-ended you, right?
Exactly.
That's what caused the police to come out, and they're going to do a field sobriety test, and you may get stuck with the DUI, right? So a lot of my clients are first-time offenders. They're not criminals. They simply made a mistake.
Exactly.
Okay?
Well, they're human, right?
Of course.
Human, and sometimes you may go out, and you're not feeling good, so you may take in some medications from a doctor's sense that you didn't know was going to interact with alcohol. Now you're, I'm stuck. What do I do?
Absolutely. And that's a good point you brought up. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand. You can get a DUI with not just alcohol. Marijuana DUIs have become very popular. Sleep aids, prescription medication, pain medication, all these things can cause you to potentially get a DUI.
And just compare your mental or physical ability.
Exactly. Yeah. And now, for example, a soccer mom or stay-at-home mom, sometimes takes sleep aids at night to go to sleep and has her kids in the back seat and gets pulled over for a DUI, the consequence is going to be even more greater.
Ugh.
Right? So, real quick to bounce back and answer your original question, if you get pulled over for a DUI, okay? There's a sort of checklist I like to always tell people.
Please.
of course, and I'll share it with everybody. And a lot of what I enjoy doing is educating. And most people don't know their rights.
Exactly. Right?
So first and foremost, you get pulled over. You always want to ask the officer why you were pulled over. Okay.
Okay.
90% of the time, officers are wearing body-worn camera.
Okay.
Okay, and audio, so we're able to subpoena and collect that information.
Good.
So I want to see what the reason was the officer pulled
the initial reason.
Exactly.
Okay.
They have to have a valid reason.
Okay.
They can't just randomly be pulling people over.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
So you're pulled over now, you ask the officer, he tells you, hey, you were speeding. Okay, great. The officer wants to begin questioning you. Right. A lot of times I tell my clients, you ask the officer, am I free or am I being detained at that point? Okay.
Okay, why?
Because they're going to start asking you questions, and before they, as soon as they start asking you questions, a lot of times they'll say, for example, well, where were you coming from? You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, officer, I prefer not to be questioned. I prefer not to discuss my night with you.
Yeah.
Always be kind and courteous, of course.
Of course.
And then, am I free to go? Am I being detained? If I'm, are you writing me a ticket? And am I good to go? Or what's going on?
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll say, well, you know what? There's an odor of alcohol, or you're swerving. There may be some suspicion of a DUI. If you breathe into this device, which is called a preliminary alcohol screening device, or PAS, and you blow below the limit, we're going to let you go. Okay. Now you have to understand.
No, because this is kind of a. Of course.
So, and don't get me wrong, one of my best friends, his entire family are police officers. Mm-hmm. My father is a volunteer sheriff, San Bernardino County. So I have nothing against them.
Yeah.
But their job is to investigate, to befriend you, and gather information. Okay? Mm-hmm. And your job is to not make their lives any easier.
Well, the problem is we're human, right? So we do our daily job. We're not trained how to, if you want to call it, self-inflict guilt on ourselves.
Sure, of course.
We're naive. We just don't
exactly.
Know.
We're normal, human beings. We're, we feel like if we're honest, we'll be, they'll let us go. 99% of the time, someone will say, you know what, officer, I had a couple beers, but 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
Well, guess what they're going to put in their police report? Admitted to drinking. Right?
That's how it's interpreted.
Exactly.
That's
okay. So a lot of times, and every time if you can, officer, you know what, I prefer not to discuss my day or night with you.
Okay.
They're going to say, okay, no problem. If you don't mind breathing into this device or following my pen or finger, and we'll let you go. You know what? I prefer not to do any of those exams. Now, all those tests, which are called field sobriety tests, are all voluntary.
Oh.
Okay? So don't do them. Right?
Dang it.
So don't do any of the
things. As a good human, you're thinking, like, because I'm being told what to do. It has to be a legal thing that I have to do to make sure I can drive away on my own.
Exactly. Exactly.
No.
Now, 90% of my clients I talk to, I go, well, they'll tell me, I passed all the field sobriety tests. And then I'll ask them, my follow-up question will be, well, do you feel like you passed them, or did the officer tell you you passed them?
Yeah.
And always their answer is, no, I did really well, I feel like I passed them.
I got an A.
Exactly, right? So these are very subjective tests.
So you walked out of a test, like, I got an A, and I'll get the test results back, like, how come
you
I fail?
Every single time you're failing these tests. I haven't seen one police report where someone has passed all the field sobriety
tests. So unless
tests.
The cop says, hey, you're good to go,
exactly.
You passed everything.
Exactly.
Here's your gold star.
Exactly. So if you got the A, they'll let you go.
Yeah.
Right? So,
results are right there.
Exactly. So don't do those tests. At that point, once again, you can ask, am I free to go? Or am I being detained? Usually, sometimes, if you're obviously not inebriated and you're good to go, they'll, instead of going through the process, they'll let you go because they know, hey, this person is someone I don't want to mess with. They know their rights.
Uh-huh.
Let's not go down this road. Okay.
Well, I think if that's their paperwork, that's their time, and their time on their own too. Like, okay.
Of course.
Do I want to have a report done? And all of a sudden, nothing goes through.
Exactly.
It makes him or her look bad, too. Okay.
And at that point, they have no evidence against you yet.
Oh.
Right? You haven't discussed your day with them. You haven't told them about any drinking patterns.
Yeah.
You haven't done any voluntary field sobriety tests. So they have nothing against you at that point. Right?
That upsets me because I would think that those tests are required, again, to just get let go.
Of course.
To prove that you're innocent.
Exactly. Now, at that point, if you're being detained, they're going to read you certain admonishments or your rights that you have to submit to either a blood alcohol test or, I'm sorry, a blood test.
Blood test, okay.
Or a breathalyzer test to determine
your
blood alcohol.
Well, so that means they have to detain you.
Exactly.
And then you have to do that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they have to read you those admonishments. So everybody on their driver's license, there's almost like a contract.
Okay.
If you're getting a driver's license, then you're agreeing to submit to one of these tests.
Got
if not,
if you've been detained.
If you've been detained.
Okay.
under suspicion of a DUI. Of course. and then if you do not, then automatically the DMV will suspend your license for a year.
If you do not do those tests.
Exactly. Okay. So we've had some cases, client refuses everything. At the end of the process, what they end up doing is they get a warrant that night and they end up pulling your blood no matter what. Okay. So you end up giving it anyways. Yes.
And you're giving blood no matter what.
No matter what. Okay. Sometimes they literally tie you down, okay, and take your blood.
Sounds like torture.
It's not fun. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. Now, the blood alcohol results come back and it's zero. So the court drops the case. So there's no case.
But
DMV will still suspend your license for a year because you refused.
Wow.
Right? So one of the most troubling things as defense attorneys, criminal defense attorney, is dealing with the DMV and the court separately.
Got it. Okay.
Now, the best scenario for us when we get a case is they didn't do any of those tests. They didn't talk to the officer. They did either the blood or breath at the end of the process. Yeah. But now we have one piece of evidence to fight instead of a plethora of things.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So best advice, and I hate to say this, but you need to STFU. And if you don't know what that means, you can look it up.
What is it? STF?
STFU.
Okay.
I won't mention it. But just shut up.
Stay quiet. If you say nothing, you're better than in doing even anything at all.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Now, a lot of times clients also ask, I was never read my Miranda rights, before they started investigating. Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is they don't have to because it's a preliminary investigation. Okay? Until you're detained, then at that point they have to read you your rights, right? And at that point you can stay silent and request to talk to an attorney. Most of the time they're going to keep you for a few hours and then let you out.
Okay. Even with a DUI?
Even with the DUI.
Even if they consider you blood alcohol level or breath levels above normal?
Of course.
They'll still let you go?
Absolutely. Okay. Now, also depends on the circumstance. If they're blood alcohol content is way over the top.
Okay.
If there was an accident involved, people were injured. Sometimes they'll set bail amounts of, very high amounts because of injuries. It may turn into a felony DUI.
Yeah.
Something that people don't understand is even if you cause injury to yourself, you can still get hit with the felony DUI.
Didn't know that.
If you're drinking and you end up hitting a post or something randomly yourself and you get injured and the ambulance come, well, guess what? They're probably going to hit you with the felony.
I guess that's how
any bodily injury, usually it's great bodily injury, will lead to a potential felony. Okay. But at that point, you're essentially, they're looking at you as a danger to society, right? Okay. That post could have been a person or a pedestrian crossing the street.
Keep it perceived that way.
Of course, or another vehicle, right? So in regards to DUIs, those are the best, things to do.
And just to walk through this before we go to the next topic too, is you don't want to say a word or respectfully decline any type of testing is that until you've been detained.
Yes.
And once you're detained, then legally they can have you do a breathalyzer or a blood test.
Yes.
Should they read your Miranda rights before that then?
Yes. So at that point, they'll read you your admonishments,
which are some
of your rights and as well as your admonishments, specifically focus on the law related to refusing a breathalyzer or a blood test
in regards
to getting your license suspended. They have to properly read you that.
Got it.
We've had cases where the cop will kind of brush over it and not really get into the details. At that point, we're able to beat it as well. That's why the audio video footage is very important.
On both sides. It basically helps clear the air of what was said, what wasn't said. So there's not, I said this, you said this.
Exactly.
It's on video.
Exactly.
Okay.
So.
Good.
And,
Well, it just lets people know, hey, look, I made a mistake. I don't know what happened. I don't know why it happened, accident or getting pulled over or I was swerving. But let's make sure I don't bury myself by saying or doing the wrong thing.
Exactly.
And that makes sense.
Now, obviously, the best thing to do is not drink and drive, and I always tell everybody that because you can still get a DUI even if you're below the limit.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So there's a couple counts. The way the vehicle code reads, it's a vehicle code 23152, and then there's an A count. Typically, it'll be an A count and a B count.
Okay.
One of them reads essentially that you're driving over the limit of a 0.08.
Okay.
And the other is pretty vague and doesn't include any blood alcohol amount. It just says you're essentially driving impaired.
So vague meaning that they could take it either way to their benefit.
Yes. Yes. So even if you're below the limit, some counties, and if you take it this far, will actually bring in expert witnesses to discuss that, hey, you know, Dr. Tony, based on his body size, weight, his, you know, being a male at this age, you know, the way his body metabolizes the alcohol, he was under, you know, he was impaired at the time of driving.
And that's when you get an attorney to go, no, he wasn't because of this, this, and this. Exactly. That's why you hire counsel.
Exactly.
Okay.
So a lot of times, even with the first DUI, you are facing jail time.
Okay.
You know, so the penalties can be very severe.
Yeah. Okay. Is California the worst state, or is it just in general nationwide?
Well, I would say specific counties, actually. Let's discuss counties in the local area in California.
Inland Empire, of course.
San Bernardino County is probably one of the most lenient counties.
Yes.
Okay. Riverside, Orange County, and LA County are much more strict.
Okay.
Even with the first-time DUI now, you are usually required to install an ignition interlock device in your vehicle, which is essentially a breathalyzer every time.
Doesn't matter, 9 in the morning, going to work.
Yes, exactly.
Great, 5 minutes.
So, and another thing people don't realize is I get a lot of DUI cases the morning after. Okay, you think you slept it off.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I got 5 hours of sleep or 4 hours, you know. And the next morning you're driving,
ready to go.
You still have alcohol in your system.
Wow.
So after a heavy night of drinking or binge drinking, it's best not to even drive in the morning.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So those are kind of the quick tips, and it's always beneficial to get an attorney.
Well, and just having someone to call, hey, look, I got this thing right now. What should I do?
Exactly. There's so many little nuances.
Yeah.
Okay. And most of my clients, they try to go on Google and try to figure it out. Okay. One of the biggest value adds that we bring to the table is you get to contact your attorney at essentially any time.
Mm-hmm.
You can text us, call us, email us, and we're responding literally within minutes.
He does. Okay? He does. Trust me. He does. We had a conversation about a case, personal injury case, on a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Just walking my dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of it is when you have someone like Nemo or his partner too on your side, that point you're not calling the secretary between 9 and 5 and that's it. You're not calling the paralegal and she has to call the attorney. That can't be reached.
Of course. We've had so many cases where they'll hire another attorney because they're $300 cheaper. 3 weeks later, they call us and they go, I'm freaking out. I haven't been able to get the attorney on the phone. I talked to the paralegal or secretary a few times. They never got back to me. These are some of the things we try to warn people from the get-go.
Yeah.
But, you know, to each their own in that regard.
It always comes down to, if I talk to someone, I'm more comfortable. I can trust them. It's in healthcare, attorneys, whatever it is.
Of course.
When you can talk to them, you can trust them. At that point, they're on my side. I have a question 10 minutes later, and they call them back.
Yes. Yes.
That makes it your life so much easier, not only from a legal standpoint, but just psychologically, too.
100%.
What does it take a case to get to court and get things cleared out? What's the length of time?
Sure, and that's a great question. So
I try to have a couple.
No, this is great. So most other firms, and what I've seen, unfortunately, they try and settle your case as soon as possible.
Why?
Okay. Now, I'll explain. And they sell that point. Okay, they tell the client, we're going to get this done, wrapped up in 2 to 3 months. You're going to be, you know, good to go.
Yeah.
Well, guess what happens? They typically go to the first court date, which is an arraignment. They'll try and squeeze an offer out of the DA that day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, usually at this point, keep in mind, they have no evidence, none of the discovery yet to even have reviewed.
Yeah.
And they're already asking for an offer.
Wow. They offer meaning that there's some form of guilt.
Trying to plea out.
Yeah, plea out.
Yes. They're admitting fault, guilt, or no contest.
This doesn't sound like an attorney that would be on my side.
Yes. Okay. Now, and then the second court date, they're trying to plea them out, essentially, and get the case wrapped up. Okay.
Easier for the attorney.
Easy for the attorney.
Yeah.
Not the best outcome for the client.
At all.
But guess what? They spun it to sell the client on the fact that we're going to get this wrapped up and resolved within 2 to 3 months.
But and the client's paying the attorney to help him out.
Of course.
Not, okay, got it. Just want to make sure.
Now, the difference with us. Mm-hmm. Our cases usually will take 4 to 6 months because we're having on average 3 to 5, sometimes even 6 court appearances.
Fantastic.
Now,
why?
I'll explain why. A lot of the process and most criminal defense firms don't even subpoena for the audio, video footage, officer certification, calibration logs, and things like that that are necessary to truly evaluate the case.
Okay.
They don't spend the time going through the audio and video footage minute by minute, taking notes to see what was said and what wasn't said, to see if there's any way we could possibly get this dismissed.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just that process of gathering the evidence takes a month or two on its own, depending
on how many hours of work.
Yes, this is just getting it from the arresting agency, them putting it together and sending it over to you.
Transcript and listening to it and everything else too. That's hours. Yeah.
Hours. Now, a lot of times, and this comes down to like negotiation tactics, mm-hmm. you're sitting there with the prosecutor or the DA. They have hundreds of cases. They want to get your case wrapped up.
They're like, this guy is taking 10 minutes of my time. Please.
So you squeeze them. So you drag it on, and by the end of the process, they're just, you know, ready to get done with the case. They don't want to deal with it anymore. They have 100 more this month, and they're willing to negotiate a little bit more favorably.
And their job is to make sure you listen to every case clearly and diligently and make sure. So they're going, man, just get this one off my plate.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Okay.
And then along the process, another thing that we do with, and I always tell my clients, I have one bit of homework for them, and that's for them to begin gathering character reference letters.
Got it. Okay.
Okay? Friends, family, loved ones, coworkers, priests. Anyone, priests, exactly, churchgoers, anyone they feel comfortable asking.
Got it. Okay.
Okay? This we put this together, and it's called a mitigation packet.
Okay.
Okay. What most attorneys don't do and don't realize, and you know what they see on TV is an aggressive defense attorney arguing with the judge, arguing with the prosecutor.
Argue with anybody.
That is furthest from the truth.
That's called you cause more egos.
Exactly.
So now they're going to hate you.
Exactly.
Again, negative marking for your case.
Exactly.
I think that's just me.
No, of course it plays out exactly like that. So what we try and do is we try to truly plead to that emotional cord. At the end of the day, the judge is a human. The prosecutor is a human.
He has a life, human, family, whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't know what they've gone through, what they dealt with the morning, you know what I mean? Whether their wife or husband gave them a hard time before they left, they didn't take out the trash, so on and so forth.
Exactly, walk the dog.
Exactly. Funny story, but I'll tell you later. But, so we really try and be kind, courteous, right, to the prosecutor, to the judge, respectful. I mean, I am the nicest person to the bailiff. To the clerks who do most of the work.
He has a great smile, by the way. See, look like right there.
Thank you so much.
Easy,
I appreciate it.
Easy.
And we get a lot further, right? Yeah. And when we present that mitigation packet, we go through the character reference letters. Mm-hmm. I explain that, hey, listen, this is our first time trouble with the law. Look at all these, you know, 5 to 10 people. Don't take our word for it. Don't take his word for it. Listen to the people in his life.
Yep.
Okay, that are willing to vouch for him.
Yeah. This is a mistake.
It was a mistake.
He didn't realize what he did, how he presented himself, anything else to him.
Exactly.
Nice.
A lot of times, if you have a family and kids, we try to put a photo of your family up top.
Nice.
Keep in mind, 99% of the time, clients aren't in court with us. Mm-hmm. We're painting the picture.
Makes my life not my life.
It makes their life easier.
No, I do have my life.
Of course.
But makes their life going, okay, now I can worry about it over here, let them do their job. If I'm in court, I'm going to be sweating my head off. At that point, it's going to be too emotionally stressful.
Exactly. It's very nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. It can...
that you've never done it before.
Exactly. Most haven't, right? Yeah. You know, I always tell them, focus on your life, your work, your future, your family. Let us take that stress off your shoulders.
That's worth more than going to a low-ball attorney to go and, hey, I will take care of your case.
Of course.
If I had a situation like this, hypothetically speaking, I would live my own life. Worry about that. At that point, let Nima and his partner do their thing.
Exactly. And that's the hope.
Yeah.
Right? You know, along with the fact that, you know, we stay in touch with them, we keep them in the loop along the way. Most people don't have a savings set aside in case they get in trouble with the law. So
that's
we work
not my,
with them.
My plan, my financial plan doesn't talk about that.
Exactly.
No,
right? So we work out a lot of payment plans with our clients, make it something affordable for them. And you know, we really pride ourselves in doing a good job.
ROI? If you help someone out, they're not going to have any jail time. Permanent record may not be an issue. They may get either legally suspended from their job, or if they have ethical issues too, and at that point, it can affect their whole life, not only even their family life.
Absolutely. There's so many things that could come along with having something like that on your background. Now, if we end up pleading you out, right? If we end up not being able to dismiss the case, we still mitigate it down to the lowest possible denominator, make sure you don't have jail, make sure your fines and fees are reduced as much as possible, make sure you're not doing additional courses that are required,
freeways, whatever.
Exactly,
to do.
Right? Okay. So, you know, once that's all said and done, and if we're pleading you out still, after about, you know, a year and a half, you're on what's called summary probation, which is an informal probation.
Okay.
You're not seeing a probation officer. It essentially means stay out of trouble for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Be nice.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So after about a year and a half of good, you know, probation terms, come see us again. We file a motion for early termination of probation.
Nice.
Okay, so we get you off probation early.
Yeah.
And then we file a motion for expungement.
What's expungement?
To get it, what it essentially means is to get it off your record. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay, kind of sealing the deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, granted, if you're trying to get a job with the FBI, they'll still be able to see it. Okay, yeah. But any, you know, typical normal job or anything like that, it will not show up on your background.
Nice.
So even a year and a half in, we can do those things.
Well, think about your subconscious. Like, okay, if I apply for another job, will they find out or not? You're allowing the clarity of mind to not deal with that stress.
Yes.
Wow, exactly. Didn't know that.
Yeah. So
hopefully I never have to know that, but now.
Yeah. No, of course. It's one of those unfortunate things, uh-huh. and I knock on wood, no one has to deal with it or go through it. Staying in jail for a few hours even can be very psychologically, you know, can psychologically affect you, especially if you've never dealt with it before.
Well, I just look at California as being more the example state too, where some people have told me it's gone the other way. Even police officers gone the other way to where now it's you're almost, you said, guilty. So now they found ways to make even people more guilty in a sense. So it's harder to fight. So by knowing things to do prep-wise, who to call, what to do right away, your first aid kit per se, if something happens, even if you're not in the wrong, you want to make sure you don't burn your own self too.
Exactly.
Same thing.
And one of the biggest things I should just mention is as soon as you're arrested, you have usually within 10 days to schedule a DMV hearing.
Okay.
If not, you're essentially forfeiting your license.
Okay.
And it'll automatically be suspended.
Wow.
Okay. So it's really crucial you get in touch with us or a defense attorney or a criminal defense attorney right away so they can obviously guide you, give you advice, information, whatever that can be helpful.
And just knowing, just watching this video too, I it's this 9% I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, and I would have gone like, yeah, officer, I was at my friend's house. Yep. I had a beer a couple hours ago. I apologize, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I'll take your breathalyzer just to prove that. Sure. Like, oh, came out positive. Dang, now what do I do?
Yep. Yep.
You know, so you want, like you said, the human nature is to be nice first.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you're just hanging yourself.
Of course.
Help this calms your nerves. So if next time you see the sirens behind you, you get pulled over and you're tired, you know what to do and what not to do to not incriminate yourself so you do not get DUI. Again, the show notes has all the highlights we talked about earlier. Also, show notes have the highlights to previous podcasts. And this is part one, so we'll go to part two next week on how we talk about dealing with being told having a car accident. All right, so enjoy the week, and I'll talk to you next week.